Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast deals with discrimination, homophobia, suicide, and crimes against men and children. Please listen at your own discretion. If you are affected by any of the themes featured in this episode, please contact your local support charity.
The idea was that he was murdered to get rid of him because he was going to give information at the trial.
I asked to, directed to go and interview his butler about any strange goings on in the commissioner's house. But the speculation went on and on and on and on.
And that led to the suspicions that things weren't as they should have been, and therefore the police failings in the investigation of the suicide were highlighted, and all the things they hadn't done came back to haunt them.
What was behind that? To this day, I don't know.
Catching Worms, a Hong Kong true crime podcast. A suicide had turned into a scandal. John McLennan, a 29-year-old police officer, had been found dead in his police quarters in Ho Man Tin. The police, moments from arresting John for committing illegal same-sex acts, acts that could have resulted in a life sentence.
It wasn't illegal to be a homosexual per se, but the acts were highly illegal.
These accusations coming from historic laws against all forms of homosexuality, and a specialist unit set up to selectively remove the perpetrators from Hong Kong society. The press had begun to theorise all sorts of ways that this man could have been murdered. But more headline-grabbing than the method was the motive.
It was quite clear evidence that he committed suicide. But to this day, there's still those belief, absolutely, that he was murdered.
Can you give any rationale for why it could not have been suicide? Was there a motive?
The conspiracy theorist says, of course, there was a motive, that he was killed because he was going to mention about all kinds of judges and senior people in the government who were homosexuals and implicate them, blah, 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 all these kind of things.
Why would anyone want John McLennan dead? What secrets did they want to silence?
Murdered because he knew of lots of homosexuals in the government, and he was murdered because he might open his mouth and bring down people together with him, and all these conspiracy theories that we've seen many over the years. But the speculation went on and on and on and on. Questions asked in Parliament, there was all kinds of homosexual rights groups jumped on the bandwagon, and it was in their minds it was a murder. It wasn't a suicide. No matter what the evidence was, they screamed murder.
Detective Norrie MacKillop had been seconded to the specialist unit, the SIU, a unit set up to investigate allegations brought against these senior people in government. If anyone had a list of people to expose, it was the SIU. But knowing who was on that list, was that a motive for murder?
The idea was that he was murdered to get rid of him because he was going to give information at the trial.
So what did John know? Did he have information to die for?
And it would have blackened the name or incriminated the Commissioner of Police, who was by that stage Roy Henry, because he did know that Roy Henry was gay because he had been working for a time in Special Branch and had seen Roy Henry's name on a file list with one other policeman's name. He didn't see anything in the files, but he'd seen the names, so he knew that. And the theory behind the people who alleged that it was a murder is that that was a sufficient motive for someone to want to kill him, to get him out of the way and not to give that information out.
This is Roy Henry, the police commissioner who had fired John outright after the Ewan Long allegation. The theory being that John, on the morning of his death, was about to be arrested for homosexual acts, yet he knew the man at the top was himself gay, and therefore could use this knowledge to expose Roy Henry and fight back. So did the police commissioner believe this man had to be got rid of? Nora McKillop is reading over a section on the case from Kate Whitehead's book, Hong Kong Murders, when he remembers something.
There was plans to highlight the hypocrisy surrounding the McLennan case by exposing the police commissioner as a homosexual, but Justice Yang, who later became the Attorney General, put a stop to that and he refused to allow anyone to ask the Commissioner personal questions. Well, that's rather strange because I was asked when I was in SIU as a young Chief Inspector. I was not asked, I was directed, not by Bob Brooks or by Mick Quinn, but I was directed by the then Director of Criminal Investigation, to conduct an investigation into the Commissioner of Police. So, which I did because I was under direct orders. So there I am as a young Chief Inspector investigating the Chief of Police, Roy Henry, who was a very popular Commissioner of Police in Hong Kong, very, very professional man. It was rumoured that he was homosexual. He was not an overt homosexual. He was a very, very good leader, respected by everyone in the police forces, as far as I'm concerned. But there I was as a young chief inspector, asked to, or directed to go and interview his butler about any strange goings on in the commissioner's house. Took a statement from the butler in the house, And the point of it, really, I don't know, because the statement was quite clear. Yes, there was sometimes some young men in the house and coming and going here and there, but the butler didn't know what was going on and what was going on in private with these young men, etc. And that was the end of it. So I took the statement. I was never directed to interview the commissioner because that would have been ridiculous.
So the SIU knew about Roy Henry. And in fact, it seemed so did most of the people moving in these circles. So would John McLennan really be exposing some big secret? Why was it so important to keep Roy Henry's sexual preferences under wraps? That a hitman would have climbed into John McLennan's flat early in the morning, forced John to write a suicide note before shooting him 5 times, just to silence him? This motive does not ring true for Nigel.
And I don't believe the motive either, because most people in Hong Kong of any note knew that Roy Henry was gay and that wasn't going to harm a fly. He was actually quite flamboyant himself at times. So the motive was wrong and the method was very unlikely to me.
But then again, Roy Henry was a homosexual, but so what? He was a very well respected, one of the best commissioners, I believe, that they ever had in the Hong Kong police. And it was probably common knowledge that he was a homosexual. But then so what?
But somebody was interested in Roy Henry.
He wasn't committing offences, but who directed the the director of Cromley Investigation to, who was a good man, by the way, Paddy Clancy, who then directed me to go and take a statement. What was behind that, to this day, I don't know. Who was doing what and why? What was the rationale for all this? I still, to this day, I don't understand.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Detective Nora McKillop sits in a funny place in this investigation. Let's go back in time for a moment here.
Anyway, I was seconded, I think it was from Homicide Bureau. For some reason, I was seconded to this special investigation unit which had been set up.
Norrie had been seconded to the team that were first tasked with investigating his friend, John McLennan. It was like he'd been invited into the SIU's house, but seemed to have been left in the hallway.
I never ever saw the orders setting this unit up, or why it was set up, or what was its particular focus, other than the focus was on homosexuals.
Like he was aware that there might have been whispers and muffled conversations going on behind closed doors. Investigations had been going on for months, and they still didn't have a case against John.
You were getting to a point where you were going to arrest John. Yet at this stage, yeah. You still hadn't. You personally hadn't seen the evidence for the arrest. It sounds like.
No, I hadn't seen any clear evidence that arrest him for what. You know, who was the complainant? Was there someone complaining that he had committed an act of gross indecency or raped them? Or I hadn't seen any complaint against John, if you see what I mean. I hadn't seen any victim.
I asked Norrie if there was no reason to arrest John. What did he think, if anything, the SIU should have done?
Should have been interviewed, certain things put to him. More as a human HR sort of interview rather than a criminal investigation. And if possible, get him out as before he embarrasses himself for the police force. If there's no clear evidence of criminal activity, then perhaps a resignation and get him out as quickly as possible. That would have been a plan, but I never heard any such a plan being discussed.
So the SIU had no cause to arrest him, no plan for what to do when they did arrest him. So behind closed doors in the SIU, could there have been another conversation going on, another plan for John McLennan?
So was there a working theory that the officers that had gone in to arrest him might have killed him?
Yes, working theory. Yeah, there was direct. Yeah, yes, that was part of the conspiracy theories going around that McLennan was killed by SIU. Yeah, these kind of allegations were rampant. There was
pretty serious for you.
For me, I wasn't concerned about it at all because I was not concerned at all.
Norrie was not concerned because to him the evidence was clear. And not only that, they had a witness to back it up.
The woman who was the caretaker bringing the skeleton key, which didn't open the door. She was a third party, completely nothing to do with Brooks or Jack Trotman, the superintendent, or Mick Quinn, who were there. But she was a third party. And she gave evidence that the place was locked from the inside. The skeleton key wouldn't open the door. It's unlikely she would be involved in the conspiracy. But, of course, conspiracy theorists would throw her in as being part of the conspiracy as well. But you don't know, maybe Mick Quinn had an affair with this woman or whatever.
So these theories and allegations got louder and louder and louder. No paper would let it rest. New articles were appearing every day.
And the fact that John McLennan was murdered and it was a cover-up, blah, blah, blah. And this went on for months and months and months and reached such a crescendo that the government decided to appoint a commission of inquiry and appoint a high court judge. They brought in so-called private inspectors, private investigators to reinvestigate John McLennan's death.
And what do you think they were looking for?
They were looking for, I don't know, they were looking for to see if there's any evidence of the conspiracies that were being alleged. Evidence of him having been murdered by any one of us or in such a conspiracy to murder or any of these things. I don't think even the investigators who were from the UK even clearly understood what they were supposed to be investigating. Because when they questioned me, they didn't seem to really understand. They had no question planned. They didn't accuse me of anything. They just basically asked me if I would be an informer on the others. Well, I had nothing to inform. It was all rather silly, actually, or rather tragic.
So a new team of investigators were brought in, and as Nigel puts it...
And that led to the suspicions that things weren't as they should have been, and therefore the police failings in the investigation of the suicide were highlighted, and all the things they hadn't done came back to haunt them.
The crime scene, trampled over by 29 people. Photographs taken after things had been moved, not dusting the entire room for prints, never confirming it was John who had fired the gun, or in which order the bullets hit. Was the SIU trying to cover something up? Or was that the whole reason the SIU existed in the first place?
Did you ever think that the reason that they set up the department, the investigation, was to cover people's stories?
To cover up?
Yeah, so they wanted to find out who was committing the homosexual acts so that if there were people found in high levels of government, that there was the ability to cover that up.
Could be. There might have been, I wouldn't put it past, as I said, my background had been in homicide and dealing with other more normal crimes. I was kind of confused why I was there and what this unit was all about. So it could well be. I can't discount that there was some ulterior motive for the setting up of the unit. But the real reasons were never discussed with me.
Does it seem like a mystery to you then?
Yes. Why the unit was set up, what was its clear purpose in terms of policing or in terms of benefit for law and order in Hong Kong. There was some vague notion of some Homintern, as they called it, creeping into government where the homosexuals were becoming too powerful, this kind of vague talk. And there was interviews with people like Fulton and a few others who were obviously pointing fingers in the homosexual world, but all very, very vague.
Next time on Catching Worms.
The police needed now to show that he wasn't a good police officer.
Why should a special unit be set up to investigate homosexual-related crimes?
But having sex with post-pubescent boys of their sort of 15, 16-year-old age was pretty normal.
Some sort of cabal of underworld homosexuals had silenced John.
Somebody who was involved in procuring young boys for the high-priced in Hong Kong.
Something ulterior happened there.
This has been a Create podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. You can follow us on Instagram at CatchingWormsHK. With special thanks to Nigel Collett, author of A Death in Hong Kong, Detective Nori McKillop, and Detective Superintendent Ian Grant. And thank you for listening.
Catching worms. Zhuk chong. This term means to get yourself into trouble, causing unnecessary difficulties. It may seem like an odd phrase, but this slang is often used as an abbreviation of the full saying zhuk chong yap si fat. That involves putting said worms up your rear end, which, to anyone's imagination, definitely spells trouble indeed.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.